Omahina timidam dasya dinandina salakaya chakshur unmi chandrena tasmai shivare namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm indebted to him and beg for service life after life. Eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. We're reading today from the third canto. We're on the first chapter. Questions by Vidura, and we're on text number 26. Kachit Purano Purusho Svanabhya.
Kachit Purano Purusho Svanabhya.
Kachit Purano Purusho Svanabhya.
Kachit Purano Purusho Svanabhya.
Padmanuvritye Hakila Vatirno.
Padmanuvritye Hakila Vatirno.
Padmanuvritye Yeha. Padmanuvritye Ha. Kilavatirnau Asata Urvya Kushalam Vidhaya
Asata Urvya Kushalam Vidhaya
Asata Urvya Kushalam Vidhaya
Asata Urvya Kushalam Vidhaya
Kitakshanu Kushalam Shuragehe
Kitakshanu Kushalam
Kushalam Suragehe.
Kushalam Suragehe.
Kachit Purano Purusho Svanabhya.
Kachit Purano Purusho Svanabhya.
Padanuvritye Hakila Vartirnau.
Padanuvritye Hakila Vartirnau.
Asakta Urvya Kushalam Vidhaya.
Asakta Urvya Kushalam Vidhaya.
Kritakshana kushalam suragehe.
Kritakshana kushalam suragehe.
Please chant.
Kachit purana purusha svanabhya.
Kachit purana purusha svanabhya.
Padmanuvritye akila vatirnau.
Padmanuvritye akila vatirnau.
Asata urvya kushalam vidhaya.
Of Godhead.
Godhead.
Krishna and Balaram.
Krishna and Balaram.
Svanabhya.
Svanabhya.
Brahma.
Brahma.
Padma Anuritya.
Padma.
by the request of one who is born from the lotus.
By the request of one who is born from the lotus.
Iha.
Iha.
Here.
Here.
Kila.
Kila.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Avatirno.
Avatirno.
Incarnated.
Incarnated.
Asate.
Asate.
Are. Urvya,
Urvya,
in the world,
on the world.
Kushalam,
Kushalam,
well-being,
well-being.
Vidhaya,
Vidhaya,
for doing so,
so.
Kritakshanau,
the elevators of everyone's prosperity,
Kushalam,
as well,
Suragehe,
in the house of Surasena.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please tell me whether the original personalities of Godhead, who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, who was born out of the lotus flower from the Lord, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Surasena. Once more, please tell me whether the original personalities of Godhead, who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, who is born out of the lotus flower of the Lord, and from the Lord, and who has increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Surasena. Srila Prabhupada's purport. So, I'm sure you all remember, but just in case you don't. The flow of the conversation here is Vidura's asking these questions. Even though he's already aware, that Krishna and Balaram, the whole Yadu dynasty, have departed from this world. So the previous verses explained that he was so shocked by hearing this. Well, he was on pilgrimage. Vidura was on pilgrimage. He had left the palace due to the cruel words of Duryodhan. Do you remember? 10 verses back. Do you remember the circumstance when Vidura was insulted by Duryodhan? Do you remember how Srila Prabhupada phrased how he felt? How Duryodhan felt? No, how Vidura felt to hear, that's the clue, to hear those words. The sign language is, he was pierced through the ears. It was like a sharp arrow pierced him through the ears. Those cruel words were so strong and hurtful to Vidura that it was as if an arrow pierced him through his ear. We can just imagine the pain of that. So I have to confess, that's the verse that I prepared for. And luckily, by Krishna's grace, I listened to class yesterday and heard that I'm supposed to be talking on another verse. So I had to bring both of them together. But anyway, so those cruel words that insulted Vidura so much pierced him through the ears, and he realized, this man is no longer in need of any protection. He's beyond my ability to protect him. He put his bow on the side of on the door of the palace, and left the palace for pilgrimage because he realized that the Lord's energies work in a certain way, and there's nothing that anyone can do to change the course, and that Duryodhan and family and anyone who's followed Duryodhan were on the path to hell, to degradation, and there was nothing that Vidura could do to stop it. However, on his pilgrimage, when he met Maitreya Muni, etc., and heard from him and questioned him about the nature of the self and many other topics, he became fortified by that and returned once more with hope to dissuade Dhritarashtra to leave his so-called comfortable situation and take to the path of transcendence, which he did. Anyway, that's the backstory. Now I'm going to read the verse again in case I've distracted you from today's verses. So Vidura is inquiring, please tell me whether the original personalities of Godhead who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, who is born out of the lotus flower of the Lord, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Surashema. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Krishna and Balaram are not two different personalities of Godhead. God is one without a second, but he expands himself in many forms without their being separate from one another. So this is a really important philosophical point that Srila Prabhupada makes, Bhagavatam makes over and over again in our in attempts to bring the conditioned living entity information on the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So generally speaking, people can understand, yes, God is great. Easy to say, yeah, God is great. But our conception of how great God is very small. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this conception of the Lord's unlimited powers, his unlimited potencies, inconceivable to our tiny brain, our tiny ability to figure it out. And this is one very basic point, basic and fundamental. Fundamental, not basic in the sense of insignificant, but fundamental point of the potencies, some of the potencies, trying to get a grasp or a glimpse at some of the potencies of the personality of Godhead. So in the second canto, ninth chapter, when Brahma, who was born from the lotus of the Lord, the Lord was Padma Anuritya here. Swanabhya is Brahma, born of the nabi, the navel, born from the navel, the lotus flower that grew from the navel. And he, Brahma, who he's asking Brahma was asking about the qualities of the Lord. So, ninth chapter, Chaturshloki verses. Those are the essential verses that the Lord spoke, the four verses that the Lord spoke in response to Brahma's inquiry as to some of the potencies of the Lord. We'll get into that a little bit, because the point is that Krishna and Balaram are not two different, Prabhupada says, they're not two different personalities of Godhead. The Supreme Lord can manifest himself into multi-personalities, and they're all the same as he, even though they exhibit different potencies and activities. So to the conditioned soul looking at or hearing about those activities of the Lord, it seems like they're different people. But they're not. They're the same personality of Godhead, the same potency. When we look at ourselves, or again, in the conception we think God is great, we think that he's like us. So we have a particular personality, God has a particular describable type of personality, describable type of potencies. But here Srimad Bhagavatam is expanding that understanding unlimitedly, so much so that your head kind of breaks a little bit trying to figure it out. Okay, so one more time. Lord Krishna and Balaram are not two different personalities of Godhead. God is one without a second, but at the same time, there are seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths. There's expansions of the Lord, not lesser. Second means the first one is primary and the second one is a little less. No, they're the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are all plenary expansions. The immediate expansion of Lord Krishna is Baladeva and Brahma, born from the lotus flower from Gabadakshai Vishnu, is an expansion of Baladeva. This indicates that Krishna and Baladeva are not subjected to the regulations of the universe. On the contrary, the whole universe is under their subjugation. And that's another misconception that a conditioned soul will have about the Lord, that he has to act in a certain way according to how we already understand things. God is great, so he can do this and this and this and this, because I can understand this and this and this. But actually, beyond what I can conceive about the Lord, he's doing unlimited things. And this potency of expansion, the potency of creation, all of his unlimited potencies are meant, not No, that's probably not the right word. They're there. We're trying to understand them so that we can become absorbed in thoughts of him. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was saying in one of his Srimad Bhagavatam series, he was giving an overview of the Bhagavatam, and in one of those series, he was saying that we have to make our attempts to understand the process of creation. It's so important, because if we think that, oh, I'm just going to think of Krishna, I'm just going to think of Krishna, that's okay, that's devotional service, that's what I'm supposed to do, that's the goal, I want to think of Krishna. Our little brain and our little, again, limited conception of how we think God is great or how Krishna is great is so minute that we can't even think of Krishna for more than a half of a second. Oh yeah, he lifted Govardhan Hill, and then we go on to something, you know what I mean? But actually, this process of creation, we need to hear it over and over and over and over again, and it's repeated over and over again in the Bhagavatam, because at least we can relate to the Supreme Lord's creative function, because we can see and interact a little bit with the material world. We can, and by hearing Bhagavatam, we get a glimpse of how the Lord creates the material world, how, and then he's explaining, you know, all his potencies behind that, and at least we can begin to expand our conception of the Lord's potencies. Okay, this indicates, because Krishna and Balaram, I'm going to go back one sentence. The immediate expansion of Lord Krishna is Baladev, and Brahma, born from the lotus flower of Gobindakshay Vishnu, is an expansion of Baladev. This indicates that Krishna and Balaram are not subject to the regulations of the universe. On the contrary, the whole universe is under their subjugation. So another example there, that the whole universe is under their subjugation. They're not subjected to the regulations of the universe. They can do, and Krishna's exhibited time and time again, how in any one of his activities, he's beyond the limits of the rules that are imposed on the function of the material world, just like gravity or this or that. He's beyond. Krishna and Balaram, what do? They jump from Prabhasana Mountain, 88 miles high, and still there was no problem. No crushed ankles, no this, no that, no problem. They could do that because they're beyond it. Krishna, as a young child, probably as old as that little boy who was just here, he could lift Govardhan Hill with his left hand, his weak hand, and with his weakest finger, quote unquote, our weakest hand and our weakest finger, he could lift Govardhan Hill. And so many times, just showing Mother Yasoda when she looked inside his mouth to see if he had just eaten the dirt, what did she see? She saw the whole universe. And even to see the whole universe, we can't even imagine what that would look like because our vision is so, you know, small. How do you see the whole universe in that amount of space? That amount of space, but it's only his mouth. So how do you see the whole universe? So Krishna can expand, contract, whatever, his potencies and consciousness, and our consciousness also. Being situated in the heart of all living entities, he can reveal himself to his devotee by their sincere endeavor. Just like Brahma, when he came to consciousness on top of that lotus flower, and he couldn't see the source, his source, he couldn't see where the lotus flower sprouted from. When he endeavored on his own, that's a very important point, he endeavored on his own to try to figure out where he came from and what his source was. And he couldn't do it, but he heard the two syllables ta and pa. But how did he understand that ta and pa meant tapasya? And how did he even know what to meditate on? But that Krishna reveals in that section of the Chaturshloki verses, a little bit after that, Krishna says, you heard those syllables from me. That was me that was speaking. That was I that was speaking them. And I inspired you to understand what they meant and how to execute it. Krishna's in the heart, he can do that. So similarly for the aspiring devotees, Krishna can expand consciousness by when he's pleased. That's the point. By his pleasure. When he's pleased with the devotee and their endeavor in devotional service, he can lift that curtain a little bit more, a little bit more, clarify things a little bit more. So even things that we've heard previously many times, we've heard this, that, so many things about Krishna. But every now and then there's some nuance, there's some further understanding. You think, oh yeah, I read that a while ago, but now I understand it in a different way, or added information to it. That's some of the potency of Krishna. Okay, so they appeared, Krishna and Balaram, appeared at the request of Lord Brahma to liberate the burden of the world, and they relieved the world by many superhuman activities so that everyone became happy and prosperous. So we're familiar, and we're preparing our consciousness and our thoughts on Krishna's appearance, Janmashtami coming up relatively soon, and how his whole appearance, the whole pastime was when the earth was overburdened by the forces of atheistic kings, the military forces of the atheistic kings, who were what? Thinking of what? What was the big misconception? I and mine. Not that they're the only ones that have that. But I and mine, but because their conception was greater and their potency was greater, and thinking, this is my kingdom, and I want it bigger, and therefore I need to conquer the next guy, and you know this, and so, and then I need to accumulate more soldiers, and therefore we need to, you know, whatever, have a war, whatever, so that I can conquer over this and that. That was how Kamsa had become so strong, by making alliances and conquering different subordinate personalities in his area, in his jurisdiction. But that whole scene previous was the earth took the form of the calf, went to Brahma, prayed for relief. Brahma said, maybe we should go higher up. And then they go to the Swetadweep Island, offer prayers, they offer prayers to the Lord, and the Lord agrees to come. Says, yes, it's time, I'll come down, and you should come, the demigods. He arranges things. The demigods come, you come and assist in my pastimes. You can be born in the Yadu dynasty and in the other dynasties that are related to the Yadu dynasty, and assist me in my pastimes. And don't forget, your wives should come too. They should come too and assist in my pastimes. So, Prabhupada just sums it up here. He said they relieved the world by many superhuman activities so that everyone became happy and prosperous. And for me, when I read this purport, this next sentence to me is actually a very key point. Prabhupada says, without the grace of the Lord, no one can become happy and prosperous. It's a very fundamental point. Without the grace of the Lord, no one can become happy and prosperous. And what is that happiness and prosperity that's actually desirable, that it will actually be beneficial to the living entity? The happiness that one gets in the service of the Lord, by connecting to service to the Lord and realizing their position as a servant of the Lord and offering that service in whatever capacity that they have or way that they have, that is true happiness and that is true prosperity. Because Krishna, in the Gita, he explains, and that Krishna has a whole system of how the universe is actually managed. And he explains right in the Gita that by sacrifice, by offering sacrifice, one will become happy. And this is the whole key, that we're thinking that, the illusion living entity is thinking that by my endeavor, I'm going to become wealthy, educated, famous, strong, this or that, you know, defeat anybody who's in my way or whatever. But it's not by our endeavor. It appears to be our endeavor if we're not seeing things properly. We think it's by our endeavor, but we never make the connection that even though I endeavored so hard, I still didn't get what I wanted. Or even if I got some happiness or some prosperity, it's not permanent. happiness and it's not permanent prosperity. It's so flickering and tiny that, and still we don't make the connection. We don't make the connection that, how come I can't be happy in this material world? How come? Because it's not our real place. Just like for so long, Hawaii is the famous place of the perfect place to go, you know, the perfect island. And just in a few hours, that island was, you know, burnt. And hundreds of people are dead from that. And thousands misplaced and thousands impacted and billions of dollars of damage done. Just in a, you could say, a blink of the eye. And yet, and as the climate changes appear in different shapes and forms all around the world, in the shapes of fires and floods and this and that and different disasters, and still the general mass of people think, we've got to figure out how to deal with this, not making the connection. Gee, is there something we're missing here? Is there some connection that I'm missing, that I'm actually not meant to exploit the material world for my purposes, and that there's a higher force beyond this that's saying, try all you want, buddy, but it ain't gonna happen. You know, so that connection, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us, that connection of understanding who we are in relation to the Supreme Lord, and how to really become happy in this material world. Really become happy in the material world. Real happiness in the material world means, I gotta get out. Because there is no real happiness in the material world. There is some relief of distress, there is some this and that, but that it's designed, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, dukkha. It's designed for suffering. So in a place that's designed for suffering, if one thinks I can get some pleasure or some satisfaction or some nice situation, there's something wrong with that mentality. It's just like thinking, I gave this example before, but I hope you all forget it so that you think it's a new example. Just like thinking if you want to cook your dinner by putting it in the refrigerator. Hello, it's not going to work. It's not meant for that, you know, unless of course you're making frozen pudding or something. But anyway, or whatever, you know. It's designed for a certain way. It needs to function in a certain way. It needs to be operated in a certain way, and then success will come, whatever. Yeah. So, the last sentence of the purport. Sorry. Because the happiness of the family of the Lord's devotees depends on the happiness of the Lord, Vidura first of all inquired about the well-being of the Lord. So if we take that sentence out of context, we might think, oh, that Krishna, there's things that make him happy, and things that, Krishna's Atmaram, he's self-satisfied. But he is happy, he is pleased when his parts and parcels acknowledge his supremacy and render service. And so, and that's the way to please the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased, the living entity who's endeavoring in that way becomes satisfied in that, by his mercy in that endeavor. So, but it's not, we shouldn't misunderstand and think that there are, even the Lord's dissatisfaction, it's not like our dissatisfaction. It's not dependent like that. It's not, you know, self-centered, egocentric, etc., etc. The Lord wants the living entities to render devotional service to him, because that's how they were designed to work. Just like these examples that we've heard from the Bhagavatam and from the Vedic scriptures over and over again, sometimes we take them, we don't think of the deep meaning, just like the example of the hand being, or the fingers being connected to the hand, or the hand being connected to the body. We say, that's how it is. But actually, when those little fingers think that they can be independent and they want to like jump off the hand and walk around on the, they're not gonna, it's not gonna work. So if someone really, someone who has a little understanding of how a body functions, just like those little examples that Manumati was reading about Prabhupada Lilamrita, about how from drops of nectar about Prabhupada, if we understand the proper means of eating and the proper limit of eating, leave enough space for air circulation. Who would ever have thought of that? Don't forget to leave enough space for air to circulate in there, and leave some water in there and everything, so that then the digestion functions and what? The body functions better. So it's for our own benefit. It's not for just the sake of telling you what to do, lording it over, being the supreme this or that. No, it actually works better that way. So the living entities, as explained here and throughout the Vedic literature, the living entities being part and parcel of the Lord, they'll function better in prosperity, in happiness, in everything, in success, in everything, by being connected to the Supreme Lord. And that's one of the essential messages of the very kind Lord, who never gives up on the living entity. Never gives up. Just like when you're trying to teach somebody something and they don't get the lesson, and you think of a different way, and you think of another way, and you think of another way, and gradually they get to understand it when it's presented in different ways. They get to understand the lesson and then follow those instructions, or then benefit from those instructions, or benefit from whatever the information is. Then there's like, okay, they got it. Because why? Because by doing that, they'll function in their proper way. Anyway, those are just a few random scattered thoughts. Sorry about that. If you want to prolong the discussion, or if you have any, forgot me, yay, Hare Krishna. Or you have any questions or comments or corrections. The complaint department is on the third floor, so if you go up there, you can put in your complaints. Okay, pardon.
No complaints.
Thank you.
Gratitude. This is elementary, but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Baladev, Brahma is an expansion of Baladev.
Yeah.
Trace me back.
You got to go a little bit before that, okay? I'll go a couple of sentences before that. They are all planetary expansions. The immediate expansion of Lord Krishna is Baladev. And Brahma, born from the lotus flower from Gabardakshai Vishnu, is an expansion of Baladev, okay? So Baladev, Krishna, then Baladev expands, then there's the Mahavishnus, and they're all expansions from Baladev.
Yeah, Gabardakshai Vishnu is an expansion.
Yeah, and then therefore
okay.
Comes
out. Okay, also can you explain the house of Shurasen?
Shurasen, that's... the grandfather, Shursain.
Okay.
Vasudev is the son of Shursain and the grandfather. So is everyone in the house, the family, the extended family.
Okay.
Happy. Yeah.
And the idea of happiness in this world. One devotee gave an example one time that how ludicrous it is if a family goes into a furniture store or a department store, and they set up camp basically in one of those nice living room scenes or the kitchen or, you know, and there they are. They're really thinking like, you know, they're possessing it.
Yeah.
But then the manager comes and says, no, this is, out, you know.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. It's as ludicrous as that, our eye and mind stuff.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? And so little examples like that that bring it down, that we can actually relate to it, how like off it is. And at the same time, just like previously we would be saying, that conception of eye and mind, how false it is, because everything's provided by Krishna. It's his show. You know, he's the supreme source of everything. The air, the light, the earth, this, the that, so many things, gravity, you name it. He's the source of everything. And I think, oh, that's my little corner up there, and I'm, you know, and that's my house, and that's my reason. Hare Krishna. The body, everything's given. Even the ability to think is given by the Lord. It can be taken away at any time. Yes, Prabhu.
Just with regards to her question about Brahma.
Uh-huh.
So that's sometimes, because other places I've read where Prabhupada says that jivas can take the position of Brahma, but sometimes when there's no qualified jiva, then it's a direct expansion of the Lord.
Most of the time, you're correct. But I, at least when I read that, I didn't assume that he was saying that Brahma was a, he's, you know, anyway, but you have a good point. Thank you for reminding me that. Yeah, Brahma is normally a jiva, you know.
Nice class.
That sentence about the prosperity and happiness, Prabhupada wrote a Bengali verse, Krishnara lagiya yeva nitya yuda kori, riddhi siddhi gyanatara mustira vittore. That anyone, whoever daily fights the battle of life only for Lord Krishna's sake, discovers prosperity, mystic perfection, and transcendental knowledge in the palm of his hand.
Wow.
So that, I always like that verse because it reminds me that it's actually simple, because if you think the other way about it, it's like, how are we going to do this? It's impossible. But if you surrender yourself to Krishna, then everything...
Isn't it true? You know?
I mean, you know, you could... Prabhupada calls this a colossal hoax.
Colossal hoax.
It's in the Gita where he says, the idea that you can enjoy the material world is a colossal hoax. But everybody bought into it. You know, everybody believes it. And we spent 7 hours yesterday in Shands. It wasn't an emergency or anything. We had this thing we had to do with Radha's checkup. And you get in Shands, and it's like you're in hell. You know, you just can't. And our doctor's really cool. She comes in and says, I'm sorry, you know, you're in Shands. What can I do? And we sat there for almost 7 hours. Luckily, the results were first class. She hasn't had any trouble for a year. But I was just, we were in there just, you know, you're stuck there. We came here to try to enjoy this material world.
Yeah.
Here we are, you know, we're sitting there. My daughter's laying there with an IV, you know, complaining, you know, and we're just sitting there. I was reading and I distributed a few books, but it was hell.
Not surprising. I distributed a few books.
Hey,
right?
It's a colossal hoax, and I'm going to cut through that whenever I possibly can.
Yeah, thank you. Anything else? Ragatmika has another thought or two.
I remember another time a devotee said, you know, the material world is dukkhalaya, full of suffering. And one shouldn't think they should come here to enjoy. So he said, the Himalaya means a place of ice. I think that's the word exactly, a place of ice. You don't go to the Himalayas to sunbathe. You just, it's just not incongruent, you know. So we shouldn't think we can be here to enjoy.
Yeah. And all that basic, so true what you're saying, but at the same time, because we've come so many times in so many lifetimes and have that impression that it's I, me, and mine, and I need to enjoy in this way, that's why we just keep needing to hear over and over and over and over. And that cleansing process takes place. And the result of the attempt, because so many of you are making such a great attempt, and I'm just like kind of poking along here, but even the attempt to attempt, Krishna's very kind and taking care. And then we see that his kindness in our life, it's very reassuring. Hare Krishna, thank you very kindly for your extent.